God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 8th day of May, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Today is Mother's Day, and Pastor John Waterloo teaches a sermon entitled, Never Underestimate the Power of a Woman. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
So many nights I'd lie awake and listen as you would talk to God and call my name. You'd hold your Bible like a priceless treasure, and every promise you would claim. And I knew that you were praying for my future. Those distant years ahead you couldn't see, but through the eyes of faith you had assurance that God would bless the plans he had for me. Because you prayed, I found my faith in Jesus. Because you loved, I learned to love him too. And I don't know where my life would be if you had never shown to me what God has done, what God can do. And now my life's forever changed because of you. I'm grateful for the life you've lived before me. It's a life so firmly fashioned by God's grace. For you would always leave the touch of Jesus in every heart and on every face. Because you gave, I found the joy of giving. Because you cared, I care for others too. And I don't know if you had never let me see your love of Jesus shining through. And now my life's forever changed because of you. God has blessings far beyond all measure. Unlimited and boundless from above. But of all of them, by far his greatest treasure is the grace and beauty of a mother's love. Because you stayed, I've never felt forsaken. Because you shared, if you had never shown to me the God you loved, the God you knew. And now my life's forever changed because of you. Now my life's forever changed. Of you.
We are in Proverbs chapter 31, if you want to head over there. I like the little surveys they do every once in a while. They found this one on the internet. I thought it was cute. They asked some elementary students some questions about their mom. And this is how they replied. They said, "Why did God make mothers?" The students replied, "She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is." Another one, who won't be alive very long, said, "Mostly to clean the house." I like this one. "To help us out there when we were getting born." That's a good one. Then they said, "How did God make mothers?" One said, "He used dirt, just like for the rest of us." One looking for brownie points said, "Magic, plus superpowers and a lot of stirring." Said, "God made mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts." This is cute. "What ingredients are mothers made of?" "God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean." Just a little dab. And then finally it says, "Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom?" One kid said, "We're related." And this one said, "God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me." I think we'll stop on that one because it's true. Only a mother could like some of us, right? Well, I want to talk today on never underestimate the power of a woman. Yes, never underestimate the power of a woman. Now, we're not talking about physical strength. The world kind of, when you talk about power, tries to compare men and women. And ladies, I'm going to help you with this. Generally, men are stronger than women. I know, that's a flash, I know. And you're not going to read that in most magazines or books today and in biology. But the reality is, when it comes to just physical strength, nothing else, not emotional or anything else, you know, 9 times out of 10, men will win. I'll just be honest. In a fair fight, I could take Brenda, okay? Notice I put the fair fight in there, okay? Realistically, strength to strength, that is true. Of course, women have a lot of other power in a lot of other areas, but for some reason, I think women's power is diminished when you try to compare it on a physical realm. I'll just be honest with you. I don't feel like that's the greatest strength of a woman, how strong she is. Matter of fact, women that are stronger than me scare me half to death. They really do. You ever see these women bodybuilders? Can I help you? That's not attractive. To me, I'm like, Yeah, you say, why? Scares me. Why? She could whoop me. That's really bad. You know, so that's not really where it's impressive. Then, of course, the world goes a different direction, and the world tries to put all the strength of a woman in her beauty and her ability to seduce a man. There's no debate she has power in that area, but the reality is the end of that power brings her destruction as well. And so really, that's not much power, to tell you the truth. It's more of a destructive situation. But that's what we get. We get the physical attributes, the beauty attributes, and we try to, well, the world does, put women in that category. And I began thinking about that and thinking about all the great women in the Bible. Now, we can't preach a sermon on all the great women in the Bible, but my mind just began to wander this week to some of the most famous ones. I thought of Esther. What a great woman. The power of Esther. I mean, this woman, and you have to go back and read the story. We don't have time for it all this morning. But Esther is this beautiful queen. And first of all, you think that her power is in her beauty. But it ends up her power becomes in her courage. And here this woman who has everything going for her lays it all on the line to save her nation. And she does. And you go back and read that story. It's a classic. It's wonderful. You see, what a wonderful woman. Then I thought of Abigail. I love the story of Abigail. And Abigail, again, just impressed me because she herself says, "I've married a foolish or stupid man." Do not nod your head right now, women, okay? Bad time. But if you go back and read that story, what a beautiful story is. Her husband makes a bad mood, offends David. David and his mighty men, these warriors, get on their horses. They're coming to kill every male in the house, all of her sons. They're gonna die. She gets wind of this, and she says, "I gotta do something." And instead of sitting idle, she gets on her horse, takes him an appeasement offering, humbly bows before him, and in wisdom discusses with him why he shouldn't do this, and she saves her household. I'm like, what a woman. And what about Rahab the harlot? Yeah, Rahab, when you really think about it, she was just doing whatever she could to keep her house going. And then one day, she's one, the only one out of all of Jericho who says, you know what? It's better to be on God's side than not on God's side. And she takes her whole family, puts them in her house, and saves her family. Story after story. And then what about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Wow, what a wonderful woman. To bear, to give birth in physical form to the God of the universe who saved us. Wow. We could talk all day about Mary and the virtue that she held. And over, you see powerful women in the Bible. Many, many a story. And I began looking at this and thinking about the different stories that we could reference. I immediately began to think of Proverbs 31. I like to look at it from a little bit different light. Like I said, I think sometimes, you know, and I probably preached it years ago, sometimes we preach messages like this, Proverbs 31, as a hammer to women. You know, hey, straighten up, you know, be this way. And I don't see that that was the design. As a matter of fact, when you go back and read Proverbs 31, really it's instruction to the son of what type of woman to find. That's really what the basis of it is. It's not setting up that women that if you don't match us exactly 100%, you're just no good. Well, no, it's just a model, an example that is set forth. And she's telling her son, hey, listen, or he's telling his son, listen, oh, King Lemuel, this is the type of woman you want to be around. And when you find this, it's a precious thing. And today I'd like to be an encouragement to you and our women. I can honestly say this as I went through this. There's many a woman in our church that fits Proverbs 31. There's no debate to me. There's many a woman that is a blessing to their home, that is a glory to God and an honor to the church. There's just no debate. And I can tell you, if you aspire to continue to be this woman, really the encouragement of the message is this: you won't lose for being this type of woman. As a matter of fact, it'll be a great blessing to you. Stand with me as we give honor today to the word of God in Proverbs chapter 31. Let's pick it up in verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? Once again, that word virtuous means character, courage, honor. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children ariseth up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Lord, we come to you now, and Lord, as we continue to see godly women and young women, Lord, continue to grow and mature and be all that you want them to be. I pray that this would be an encouragement, Lord, that those who choose the path of a godly woman, she shall be praised. Lord, she shall have come to pass those things that her heart truly desires. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for the guidance you've given us in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Never underestimate the power of a woman. I like that because I do believe, honestly, that women are powerful. It's often been said that the man is the head of the home, and it is true. But one person kind of added to that and said, but the woman is the neck that turns the head. The fact of the matter, there's some truth to that. As much as we see position-wise, men are to lead, that does not diminish the influence of women. As a matter of fact, as I began looking at this and seeing the blessing that women are, I've broken this down into just a few categories to talk about this morning to be an encouragement to you. And the first one I want to talk about is this. Women have the power to influence their husbands. I honestly believe women have a great power to influence their husbands. You look even at verse 11, and it says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that she shall have no need of spoil. If you look at 1 Peter 3:1 as well, 1 Peter 3:1, turn over there real quick. We'll be back over in Proverbs. Whenever I'm going through premarital counseling, I try to show young ladies this because I think it's such a blessing. But in 1 Peter 3:1, it's telling women how to operate. And remember, this month we're talking about the Word of God, and we'll be back in that series tonight. But I thought it was interesting, even for Mother's Day, 1 Peter 3:1 says this, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. In other words, we're talking about the Word of God and the power of it all month. And I want you to know, this book is powerful. But its power is only good if someone picks it up. So as powerful as it is, if it sits there and is never opened, it's never read, it's never digested, then the power is diminished. Oh no, it's the power is still there, but it's diminished in your life. You say, well, preacher, what happens if I'm married to a man who doesn't open the book? He doesn't go to church. He doesn't believe the things of God. What do I do? Well, this is what the Bible says, that if any obey not the word, look at this, they also may, without the word of God, be won, be influenced, be impacted by what? The conversation of the wives. Now, I always got to stop and clarify in premarital counseling. That word conversation is not the word we use for conversation today. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's not saying, hey, if you just go home and talk a whole lot to your husband, you'll change him. No, we call that nagging. That won't work. Hours of talking will not influence us. You say, but it says conversation. Well, that word, known back when it was written, meant behavior. It means behavior. In other words, the Bible says that if he decides not to pick up the book, he decides not to let this book influence him and change his life as he ought as the head of the family. God says, I've got a second provision. It's you. What do you mean it's you? The wife has a great opportunity to influence her husband. Now, let me clarify here as well. You say, well, preacher, I'm trying to live godly and my husband's still living wrong. Does that mean I'm blowing it? No, not necessarily. We're not placing blame on you because your husband's not living right. Okay, that's not the connotation of the Word of God here. All he's saying is, well, it's the same thing. If you took that, you'd say, well, if he owns the Bible and doesn't live right, it's God's fault. No. All the Bible is saying is you have an influence on his life. He still has to choose to follow that. But you need to understand, if he won't go to church, if he won't open up the Word of God, God says there's another way. There's another influence that he sees every single day. It's you. It's you. Did not Paul say in the book of Corinthians, you are known and read of all men, ye are my epistle? Yeah. He was saying that to the believers that he led to the Lord. He says, you're a walking, living Bible. Do you not realize, ladies, you have such an influence on men? If you finish 1 Peter chapter 3 and you read down verses 1 through 6, you will see in verse 2 it says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, it'll talk about how you impact him with your meek and quiet spirit, how you impact him with your godly living, how you impact him by just living for God. You say, well, he doesn't care about that. I'm telling you, he notices that more than you realize. You're one. He watches you. He watches how you talk. He watches how you walk. He watches how you operate with the kids. You have an impact in his life. Now, I realize he may not be showing that now, and he may not be responding as he should. It's not your part to get him to respond. It's your part just to be an influence in his life. But I got to tell you, you have a mighty power there. Oh, you have such a power with your husband. If you'll use that, if you'll just keep living for God, if you'll just keep doing right and walking in the right path. I'll never forget, I've had this happen more times than I like. But so often, as we said, women generally used to be, this was the norm, and I think it probably still is to some degree by percentage-wise, but women are normally more sensitive to spiritual things than men. That's usually the way it is. That's a good thing, by the way, women. Don't let the world take that away from you. It is beginning to diminish in our world, I'll be honest. But it's always been where the women would come to church first and then hopefully the men would come later. Great influence. But in this, I began to look at this and I realized in several couples that I've counseled, some of the saddest situations I've ever had. I remember one couple in particular, won't mention their name, it's been years ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago. They came in, they weren't a part of the church, and so they wanted to get married in a church. And so one of the first things I do is talk to them about salvation. Very essential. I don't marry people that aren't saved. That's just the way it is. Why? Well, it's unbiblical. So we sat down and began talking, and It went through several sessions, and finally, about the third session, the man realized he wasn't saved. Now, the woman had claimed salvation from the beginning. And so we'd been talking to them, and he came in, and finally we're sitting in the office, and he decided, "Preacher, I'm ready to get saved." I'm like, "Well, praise God." I remember leading him to the Lord, and I really believe it was genuine. I mean, you could see that he was sincere, he was excited. They came in for the next session. We began talking just about different things. And at that time, I remember one of the things we were talking about was the fact that they had been living together, which was a norm during that time, still is today. But I was a little concerned because I thought, well, she says she's saved, and he says now that he's saved. So I kind of understand that before because, well, he wasn't saved, she wasn't living for God. So I thought to help him, I'd just bring up the topic. You say, why? Well, because of all the stats that are out there. People that live together have an 80% chance of divorcing. That's pretty high. I mean, that's high. That's not my stats. That's from secular universities. You can look it up on the internet. So I thought, you know what? Unless they make some changes, this is going to be bad. So I said, hey, you know what I'll do? I'll encourage them. And so they were in the office. I said, man, now that you're saved, I said, does your mom and dad live in town? Yeah. She said, yeah. I said, is your mom and dad? He said, yeah. I said, let me tell you, I know you're getting married in a couple months, but I tell you what would be a good thing. Man, if you'll just separate for just a couple months, you know, instead of living together, I think God will honor that. Well, what a great way to start. And we had this discussion. I opened up the Word of God, and I showed them what the Bible said about this. And I wasn't attacking, condemning. I was just teaching them. I said, man, it's your choice. I said, it'd be a benefit to you, but you got to decide what you want to do. I remember just looking at this guy, and he kind of raised his head. He said, well, preacher, if that's biblical, I just got to say, I want to do what the Bible says. I said, well, praise God. And then I looked over at the young fiance. You ever notice when someone's mad at you? Have you ever seen that? Now, one of the things God gives most pastors this gift of discernment. But you don't have to be very discerning when someone's over there going, I mean, she's just, her face is contorting and she's getting mad. And I'm like, did I say something wrong? I'm like, I'm sorry. Is everything okay? It's fine. They walk out. I never saw them again. Here was this man, sensitive, pliable. He said, man, I just want to do whatever God wants us to do. He wanted the marriage to be right. Before that, so did she said. But when I gave her the biblical answer, rather than going, this is a great plan. Oh, man, if that's what the Bible says, preacher, I'm saved, let's do it. She got mad and said, no, we're doing it my way. You know what's so sad about that? I'm pretty sure they fell in the stat of the 80%. You say, why? Folks, you can't go against what God says. Now listen, the sermon isn't on that today. What are you saying? I was shocked that this woman threw away her opportunity to influence her husband to be. What a great opportunity for her to say, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I haven't been going the right direction either. Let's do this. Let's honor God. Let's get in church. Let's get on track. And instead she said, I'm going a different direction. Women, don't throw that away. I can't tell you how many times I've seen women come into church and their men not coming to church. And then as soon as he gets right with God, that wife suddenly go the other direction. That is the weirdest thing to me. Why? You have such a great influence to impact your family by just living for God. And what you ought to want is a godly husband and godly kids. And believe it or not, you can set a great example for that. You really can. You say, but they're not following. It's okay. Trust this. You have more influence than you realize. You ever say something to your kids and wonder if they're listening? I see most moms now crying. Please stop right now. I wonder if they're getting it. Let's just be honest. Sometimes you never know until, 20 years from now. You say, how do you know? All of a sudden they have kids and they're saying the same thing to their kids. I can't wait for that day. Why? I'm just going to smile and go, ha, 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 ha. You think, man, they're not hearing me, you know? And you really do think that, you know? But isn't it going to be neat the day that you're over at their house and the kids are running out and mom goes, don't forget to change your underwear. Why? You could be in a wreck. And I want you to have dirty underwear on. Isn't that so encouraging from your mother? And don't forget to brush your teeth. You know, they give all these things. You think, do they ever hear me? They hear. They get it. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. I mean, you could be teaching and teaching them the Word of God and living right and go, is it worth it? The Bible says it's worth it. Keep it up. So women, you have power. You have an influence over your husband. Number two, real quick. Women have power to impact the home. Verses 13 through 19 back in Proverbs. It talks about a woman's impact of the home. It's a beautiful thing. You should be getting up, verse 13, and finding wool and flax all the time, working with your hands. You're supposed to be like a merchant ship, which is huge, large, a boat. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Hey, we're literalists here. It says she's like a merchant ship, okay? So if you're not fat, you're not godly. But anyways, it's biblical. Okay, verse 15. She rises while it is yet night. Verse 16, she considereth the field. She girdeth her loins. You say, what's that all saying, preacher? Am I supposed to be doing all that stuff? Yeah, you know what I notice here? You know, women, your power really is in the home. Believe it or not, you have so much more influence. Now, listen, I'm not against women working, so don't look. Oh, here comes a sermon about women working. I don't have a problem. Matter of fact, if you look at this passage right here, women worked all the time. If you really look at Proverbs chapter 31, they were a major impact in the home. There's no debate about that, even from a financial basis. So I don't have time to get into that and debate that, but here's the issue here. The issue is they had an impact and influence on their home, not just their husband, but the home. Ladies, I can tell you from women that have done it and been there for years, the greatest satisfaction you're going to get is to have an influence and impact in your home. As much as you're doing outside of the home, that's wonderful, that's great, but there's no greater feeling than training your children right. There's no greater feeling than them getting married, having grandkids, and spoiling the grandkids. What a wonderful day. There's no greater honor than you imparting into your home those things. And you being diligent in the home and not worried about what anybody else thinks and all the other clubs that you're involved in and all the other things that you do. No, the honor is when you see a woman and you see her walk through and her family's with her and man, the kids know the Lord and the kids are growing. It's a wonderful thing. It's worth the time. It is worth the investment. And so when I see a Proverbs 31 woman, not only does she influence her husband, she influences her home. I also see the impact that she has from a financial basis too. We're not going to talk long about that, but you notice she buys land and sells land. Did you notice that? You say, what are you saying, preacher? Well, I want to talk to the men for just a minute here. Men, it's not wrong to have your wife involved in the finances. As a matter of fact, for most of us, it's a very wise move. Do you know who the number one impulse buyer is in the home? And before you say your wife, you need to look at a mirror. You know, stats show men are the greatest impulse buyers in the world. You say, man, my wife goes to the store and she picks up a pair of shoes and she bought, you know, some extra things here, some extra things there. Yeah, add that up, would you? Yeah, when my wife gets impulsive, it usually costs me about $20. You know what happens when I get impulsive? Beep, beep. Yeah, it's a little bigger, you know. I like bigger is better, you know. My impulses aren't $5, $20. My impulses are thousands of dollars. You know, and I'm bringing it home going, look, honey, what I got. She's going, oh, no, not again. I look at a woman here buying land, selling land, planting a vineyard. You know what your impact is? It comes down to this, women, whatever you do, whether you work a job, you're a stay-at-home mom, you ought to be an impact financially in the home. You ought to be a blessing. So sad when women don't play that role. Some of the saddest stories I've seen, I remember one in particular, and being at the bedside of a woman passing away and her family finding out that unbeknownst to them, she had borrowed like $20,000, $30,000, had credit cards in her name that were hidden. And as she's on her deathbed, her family find out about it for the first time. And I thought, do you really want to go that way? And she passes away, and the last thing the family remembers is that behind the scenes, rather than being a blessing, she'd been a detriment. And I'm thinking, that's not godly. That's not the way to go. We can talk about the children. We can talk about all kinds of things. But can I just give you the crux of what I want to show you today? Would you jump down in Proverbs chapter 31? The influence and the power of the woman. Yes, on her husband. Yes, on the kids. Yes, on the finances. All these things. But look at verse 30, if you would, real quick. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Boy, isn't that true. Favor is deceitful. Boy, favor comes and goes. You can be in someone's graces and out. And then it says, and beauty is vain. You see, today in our world, let's just be honest, the ideal woman is gorgeous. I mean, she's gorgeous. And whatever you think gorgeous is, I'm not going to try to display that for you. Well, gorgeous is 5'1½", blonde hair, wears glasses, plays the piano. Does that help? Should be brownie points. Anyways, but let's just be honest. I mean, today women's roles is a lot of times they get their honor by how beautiful they are. And I say it's probably so for younger women, But the fact of the matter is when you get into the Bible, you know, for younger women, it's beauty. For men, it's strength. But sometimes we take those roles, we take them farther than they need to be. You say, what do you mean? It seems our world is caught up that the greatest women are the prettiest women. And I got to tell you, that's not true. Doesn't beauty change? Since you guys don't want to talk about it, you mind if I talk about it? Ladies, can we help you? I think women should do everything that they can to look nice for their husbands. I'll be honest with you. I don't believe that stops. I really don't. But your job isn't to look nice for everyone. It's to look nice for your husband. And so, yeah, I think you ought to keep yourself, whatever you do, you know, makeup, hair, all that kind of stuff. You know, sure, there's nothing wrong with that. But there just seems to be an overemphasis on this. It seems like every book, every magazine, every movie, every article is just focuses on beauty and beauty alone. And can I help you? Beauty fades. Listen, if you're 50, 60, you're probably not as pretty as you were when you were 20. Okay, I'm still okay. Good. I was going to run out the back door, but I'm okay. Good. That's just reality. I know there's a few exceptions. That's why we call them exceptions. It's called plastic surgery. But anyways, yeah. You don't think we know that as men? It's not like we're the same. And guys, by the way, you ain't so good either. You know, these guys at 40, 50 still trying to find someone that's 20. Really? Have you looked in a mirror lately? The only 20-year-old something that would want you is someone who's warped in the head. Okay, something's missing up there, so they like you. The fact of the matter is everybody changes. Men get older. We get fat, gray-headed. And you still love us. And women, can we help you? We still love you getting older. We understand the wrinkles. We understand the things changing. I'm not going to go into detail because I do want to get out of life. But you know what I'm talking about. Things change. You know what the Bible says? Beauty is vain. Why? You cannot keep it forever. Are you aware of that? And once again, I'm not promoting do nothing. Please do something. Okay? So we're not promoting a do nothing thing, okay? But what I'm saying is, can I just help you even from a biblical standpoint? When you go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and you look at verse 4, there's a comparison there in verse 4 and 5. It says, but let the adorning not be the adorning of the hair, the plaiting of the hair, the putting on of apparel, the jewelry. I usually like to talk to young couples, and I look at young women, and I say, basically the Bible says you should never wear makeup, you should never wear jewelry, or you're in sin. You always get a great pause there. And they always go, oh, because usually they're in my office with makeup and jewelry on, and then I have to say, just kidding. Read the rest of the verse. And you go down to like verse 5, and it says, but, are you ready? Let it be the hidden man of the heart. Can I give you some advice here? You know what makes a woman beautiful? It's not the outward, it's the inward. No, I'm serious. Can I tell you from a man's perspective? You tell me, preacher, you don't notice if someone's pretty? Well, yeah, I'm not blind. If someone is physically beautiful, you can say, well, that's a pretty person, you betcha. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, she's pretty, God made her beautiful, praise God. But have you ever seen someone like that and then they start talking? And all of a sudden, if they were a 10, they're now like a 5. I mean, I mean, what's coming out of their mouth, you're like, whoa! Oh, I'm glad I don't live with that. Oh, I'm seriously. I've been around people, especially being a minister and you're out and all of a sudden you see someone and you get close to them and you're like, man, this is, wow, that, oh. And now whenever I see them, I don't see their outward beauty. I see, I'm praying for him. Oh, that poor guy. I mean, seriously, I'm like, wow, that is just so bad. Why? Your character means more than anything else. Don't you get, you know what sustains relationship? My wife has often said I'm perverted, and she will come in, and she won't be looking her best. Maybe we're out working in the yard, and, you know, so her hair is not, like, perfect and all that kind of stuff. She's not wearing, you know, Sunday clothes, and she walks in, and I'll go. She looks at me and goes, seriously, really? Are you okay? Are you mentally deranged, perverted? What's going on here? You don't whistle at me when I look this way. What's happening? But usually what's happened is, one, I'm just messing with her mind because it's fun. But anyways, usually in those times, I've noticed something about her. In other words, I love her. I think she's beautiful. That's why I married her. I tell ladies all the time, men don't marry ugly. No, really. When you got married, you didn't go, she looks ugly, I'll take her. Yeah, she'll probably grow to be really ugly. This will be good. I've never met a sane man in my life who thinks that way. But can I be honest with you? The reality of it is now, my love for my wife isn't because of her physical beauty. No. You say, what is it? It's her character. Now, I would like to take it one step further. It's not just her character. You say, what do you mean? Remember back there in Proverbs 31, verse 30? Ah, yeah, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, now that's something precious. You know what the greatest power of a woman is? Her ability to fear God and keep his commandments. That is your greatest impact. Would it be that we'd get back to a generation of women who fear God? Remember the stories of grandmother praying? Hey, that's not a dishonorable thing. Those grandmothers have a reputation for praying for their family and praying for the kids. When they pass away, you have a group of people gathering saying, I love that woman. Why? She always loved me. She always prayed for me. She always cared for me. I'm like, that's an honorable woman. Women, that's not a bad thing. God told you the secret of your power. Oh, it's in your influence over your husband, your kids, and the home. Sure. But greater than that, can I challenge you? Fear God and keep his commandments. Be a woman who loves God. Be a woman of the book who gets in the book and prays and reads the Bible. Be that woman. What does it matter? Oh, you bet it matters. How many children have been saved because they saw mom reading the Word of God? How many children have been saved and get in church because mom goes and mom cares about them? How much wisdom have we learned because mom's getting in the book and imparting that wisdom to their kids? Wow. Now that's a virtuous woman. You wanna know where your power is? Not in your beauty. No. No, I'm sorry, that fades. It's not in your job. No. No, it's not in your accolades, what you've done in this world. No, it's in your ability to fear Almighty God and keep his commandments. And if you want to be a woman that has power, get in the book, get on your knees, become close to God. And I'm telling you, those things you greatly desire will happen. Well, like what? Her husband will raise up and call her blessed. Her children will raise up and praise her name. Her friends will raise up and say, now that's a wonderful woman. Perfect? No. But powerful. You'll never be perfect, but you can be powerful. So today, can we do this? If you're a husband, man, child, this would be a good day if you've got a godly mom that does her best to thank God. Thank God that you have a mom that goes to church, loves the Lord, fears God, and does the best that she could. And if you are a woman and you're trying to do what is right, fear God and keep his commandments, don't stop. You're on the right track. And I'm just going to tell you, encourage you today, if you keep it up, I'm telling you, your days will be blessed. It'll be a wonderful thing. So don't stop. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the women in our life, the power that they have that maybe they don't even realize. May they never underestimate the power that you've given them. They may not be the head of the family, but they wield the power, Lord, in the family more than they realize. Thank you for godly women who do not try to follow the ways of this world and the things of this world, who meticulously, Lord, work hard behind the scenes. Oh, yeah, they do the things the Bible says. They're not idle. They work hard in their home and for their kids, and they provide clothes and food, and they help out financially, and they do all those things, Lord, that they can. But more importantly than that, Lord, they love you. They're saved. They're godly. They're trying to get in your word, and they fear what you say above all else. Lord, I think of the midwives in the book of Exodus who feared you more than they feared Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh gave the command to kill the babies, they didn't, because the Bible says they feared you. And when you go back and read the story in Exodus, the Bible says that God gave them homes because they feared him. God blessed them in a great way because he saw their fear of him. Lord, may our moms, these great women you've given us, continue in that path and be encouraged. May we, as the men, the women, and men and the children, Lord, recognize the women that you've put in our lives that love you. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you today. You want to come and just thank the Lord for what God's given you in your life. We didn't talk much about salvation, but ladies, can I just say this? If you are here today and you've never had the opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ, or maybe as a child, you've seen the faith of your mother, but you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. There's no greater Mother's Day gift than for her to know that when you die, you're going to heaven. I can guarantee that. There is no greater gift. If you want to talk to someone about how you can put your faith in God and find the fear of God, we'd love for you to come as well. Whatever the need is, we're going to sing page 156. If you need to come, spend some time at the altar, you come as we sing.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.